website, boardoptions.com, in about 2 weeks. I'd like to introduce our two speakers today who are going to take roles in this case. The first is Lisa Cohen, who is on the left here. Lisa is the CEO and principal of Capital Motion. It's a boutique consulting firm that serves mission-driven organizations. Lisa is an entrepreneur, having launched a successful firm. She's a leading advisory, research, and strategy firm active in the sustainable investing space. Lisa was managing director and senior vice president at Evergreen Investments, a director at John Hancock, and a director at the Girl Scouts. She ran lines of businesses that resulted in significant assets and money raises in each organization. Lisa is a graduate of Smith College and has completed Harvard's Executive Education Program in Investment Decisions and Behavioral Finance. Lisa is a member of the Boston Club's nonprofit board and marketing committees. She is past president of both the Boston Smith College Club and the Boston Women's Communicators. Lisa was a founding board member of the historic Dwight Derby House Board of Directors. On my right is Astrid Hendren, who is the founder of a really cool organization called The Cause Fund. And what it is companies, it's sort of like the United Way on steroids. And there are a number of causes, and number four on the list is St. Jude's.
Good thing.
Just want to make sure it was on the list. It is on the list.
Thank you, Adam.
So it is distributed to nonprofit organizations, to schools, to companies, so that people who want to make donations have a broad swath rather than just the United Way decisions. You can decide what cause you want contribute to, as opposed to what the cause United Way wants you to contribute to. She previously was with the American Heart Association, and she is a survivor of a heart attack herself, and an author of a book called Surviving Lasts a Lifetime. And she gives talks around the country on surviving strokes and being a survivor. She is also an immigrant to this country, as so many of our entrepreneurs are, from Holland. Legal, she says.
The green card.
So. Ladies.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming to this evening's board meeting. We have some challenging issues to discuss. Astrid has proposed a number of important items for us to consider. The first of which is the issue of the position that the National Office has taken regarding the Boy Scouts, National Boy Scouting Organization. So you've all read the national position on scouting. Do we want to talk about that first, and then we can hear from Astrid about her position? She has presented to us a much more positive framing that she would like to take locally, and she has asked that we endorse this position. The governance committee is comfortable with it, but we have a lot of issues on the table, and we need to talk about each of them. So we can start with this one.
And how long have we been considering this as a board?
Well, this has come down pretty recently from National, but it's circulated publicly. It's available on the interwebs. Anybody can read it. It's a 3-page letter written by the president of the board of the U.S., we're calling them Sunshine Scouts, to the Boy Scouts, and it's been circulated widely. It's been written up in all of the national papers, and it's a bit harsh, and so Astrid has some concerns. Astrid and her team have some concerns.
I would like to just make one little statement and remind everybody why I was hired, and I think a nice question to this group would be, please tell me if you have daughters or sons. How many of you have daughters? Oh, wow, everybody has daughters. How many of you have sons? How many of you think they're very different from each other? Right? So we see a lot of hands. And so I'm in a position, I have 4 daughters and 1 son. And I think any parent that has more than one daughter will say, just fasten your seatbelt, to any other parent in the supermarket line or wherever. And that's why I think, we haven't really talked about it that way, but that's why I was hired. That we really need to rethink what girls need in those formative years and how we're going to guide them to be individuals, to be strong. I mean, we're talking girl power. But as a parent, we know how different they really are. So when we have this discussion about Boy Scouts and how, you know, they're taking that position of commingling and all that, I really want to remind you on these daughters and what they need in life and why the Girl Scouts can be a platform where they can find their space and where we can offer programs that serve them. So with that, I'd like to just open it up.
Go ahead. Well, I look at it from, I like the more positive statement, I'll say that. And I like it because it's coming from a point of positivity, whether we're saying, you know, boys are, and girls are different, or, you know, I just think that if what our goal is to attract more girls to our organization, putting out a negative statement isn't really saying anything about us and why it's just putting down something else. So in a way, the other organization doing what they did is an opportunity for us to have people hear about us and make a positive statement. As a troop leader, and my daughter earned her, she went up through her silver award. So, you know, we've done this for a lot of years. I do think that it is wonderful, and maybe there's even some research that we can get out there. And my daughter was in single-sex education through eighth grade. The opportunity for either sex to just be themselves without the distraction of the other gender there is a positive. So it will be interesting to see how the other organization handles that dynamic. But I like the idea of selling why you want to be part of us and having a positive message. I think if you look at the Girl Scout oath, it's all about positivity. So I think going negative isn't the right thing to do.
I have two suggestions, one of which might involve changing the program somewhat. Of course, I was a Girl Scout, remember what it was.
Could you speak a little louder?
I have two suggestions. The first has to do with supporting with substance this statement.
The positive statement.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I went to what's now called Harvard College, but it was Radcliffe College.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And what we do is those Wellesley girls were the competition. They were the ones we had to be better than. And at that time, there was also all sorts of data showing that Wellesley girls did better professionally than women who went to the mixed sex.
That's Smithy's too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of data on it. Yeah. They had better jobs, better personal incomes, higher follow-on education levels, higher number of PhDs, higher number of tenured professors, higher number of partners in law firms. They just beat us right down the line. It seems to me that has not changed, and that it would be possible to show to have more substance behind these words, and just get the data or get the arguments. So that's idea one. Idea two is, I think what makes people successful is success. You know, just having raised three children, the key for my children was getting them to succeed at anything, like sports or academics or anything. And thereupon they became ambitious because they knew they got the confidence. Do it, and they got all that. adrenaline of success. My memory of the Girl Scouts was not achievement. It was doing fun little things that were very motivating. And so I'm wondering if there can be programs, and you know, I think sports are growing, that are more driven towards success as a mechanism to truly helping people, happen to be women, succeed, or girls succeed. Those are my two thoughts.
Well, I love your thoughts, both your points, and I think as a CEO, that's really what we've discussed before, that we want to move towards a more progressive, you know, hip program. But we have to remember where we're at, and we have to remember where we fit in the market, because National is coming down on us about this message. So we have to take baby steps. And if, as a board, we can agree tonight that this would be a good statement to send out, and these other issues can be discussed as part of it, we can have a strategy around that. But I will need the full support of a board to move forward with that, because as a CEO, it's very hard to make that program change when it's, how old the program? Very old.
112 years. And I have one question I would put to the board, and then I would ask for your comments, which is, I agree with the comments that have been made thus far. The question that I do think has to be answered is that we are trying to address, Astrid and her team have proposed a number of changes that try to address the bigger picture issue here, which is that there is effectively a secular decline happening in scouting. And she and her team are trying to address the bigger picture issue. The national office, the home office effectively, has one approach. It is not the same approach that Astrid and her team are proposing. So this group needs to think that through. Discuss.
Well, I think that's...
Asha, I think, had a comment first. Yeah.
My question is actually about that, which is, I'm new to the board, and so if you could let me know how much support we get from the national office, because I do think that I agree with some of the comments that a more positive statement would sit better with me, but given the budget constraints that we have, most federated organizations get some sort of financial support or other types of in-kind support from their national organization. So I'm curious about that and whether or not we're in the position to see that walk away, which I think could be a very real and present outcome if we move forward with this positive statement that is diametrically opposed to the national office.
The scouting organizations do not provide support. The Girl Scouting organizations do not. There's no downstream financing.
Okay.
It's the other way.
Right. Like I said, there's no downstream financing. And so the punishment is not, that can't be affected.
So let's turn that around. What are the negative consequences if we were to move forward and endorse it? What would we have to deal with from a national level that we're potentially not prepared to deal with? It doesn't sound like financing is an issue. What might the other issues be?
Part of that is a media, court of public opinion issue. In the current media climate, given gender issues and Me Too and harassment things that are going on, someone is going to come along and take either position and paint that into something it may not necessarily be. The other thing is we already have some exposure here. We have an Occupy situation with our properties. So those are two very thorny issues. Before we proceed, we need to think through exactly what our positions and responses are going to be.
I'm already viewed as a bit aggressive nationally. So being in this region of the country, we do have to watch our steps indeed.
You viewed as aggressive because of the statement you're proposing? I mean,
yes, it's already very, yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of a single reason that we would not send a positive statement. I'll just give you by way of background. I was on the board of a local nonprofit, Big Brothers of Boston, that changed its name to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Massachusetts. And Big Sisters was very unhappy with that. And it became very negative. In fact, they ended up filing litigation in federal court, where I represented Big Brothers, Big Sisters. It was a lose-lose. There is nothing good that can come out of this thing. So whether National thinks it's a good idea or not a good idea, we should not be burdened or allow this agency, this organization, to be burdened by negativity. The Boy Scouts are going to do what they want to do. We need to figure out how are we going to make this the most positive experience for girls that don't want to be in an organization with boys. And from that, I think it's only a matter of, is this the exact statement? But there's no question that it has to be positive. There's nothing that will help this organization by endorsing a negative statement.
Would it be worth
We're spending an awful lot of time talking whether we have a positive or negative statement, but the real issue is number three and what we're going to do about it. And I would like to hear, as a board member, I'd like to hear what your plans are. So if we're successful here, I would go ahead and do a positive statement. As a new CEO, what have you and your team come up with?
And I think that's a very valid point. We almost have to look at all the issues at the same time, because breaking it down does not really work for the big strategy. It's really the vision that matters here. And as I've stated in previous meeting when you all still had to approve of me as a CEO, I really believe that as the Girl Scouts, we need to start from scratch. We need to look at the program and say, where are we going to save money, but also get new members? So we need to rethink the programs, rethink that. What is out there in research that we know? Our girls are emotionally and socially in trouble, and they need help. So if we are the platform that's going to offer that help, we need to look at the big picture. So if we're going to be financially fragile because we're looking at issue number three, we need to come up with solutions for all these three components. Whether it's selling parcels, of land, or whether it's coming up with new programming, or whether it's sending out messaging. I personally, my belief as the CEO moving forward is that we have to be financially very frugal. We have to shrink our budget, and we have to start from scratch on how we recruit new members by adjusting programs, by coming up with new programs that are geared towards this society of young girls that need to be empowered, and that looks a little different from what it did 20 years ago. And it doesn't matter what the Boy Scouts are doing in the meantime. We need to work parallel with that. So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the issues that we have at this board meeting, I find curious because they're backward looking. This whole effort at this point is backward looking, wanting to rewind the clock and go back 10, 20, 30 years. Gone. Those days are done. And so we made the point, whatever the Boy Scouts are going to do, the Boy Scouts are going to do. And the question about what are we going to do to drive growth and relevance and to improve our value proposition to our constituents, who are primarily the young girls, is the real question, none of which we're really talking about. So all these other things just keep us hanging us back and wishing for what the past was.
And thank
you
for pointing
that out.
This
is exactly the problem I think we have here. I couldn't agree more with your statement. I think all of these three issues are totally subordinate and caused by this deficiency. And I think that if that can be successfully addressed by this group and by our CEO, all three of these programs will be de minimis. So the issue is, what is it that is going to excite these young women to come to us rather than our chasing them around to persuade them that we're going to help you validate yourself? They already have the intuition of what that's going to be. You probably know what that is. Let's get it down and articulate it and put together the infrastructure to start with pilot programs, get the candle lit, and these three problems are going to disappear all by themselves.
So if I understand correctly, what I'm hearing you all talk about is even more radical change than and is currently being proposed at this meeting. I'm very excited to hear that. Is that correct?
Yes.
If I can add, the last two items are around financial sustainability and basically funding us as we go from the as-is to the to-be, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we have to sort out how we're going to get there financially, so those are significant considerations.
Yeah.
But we ultimately have to, what's the 2B look like, and how long are we going to get there, was how financially are we going to get there and sustain ourselves.
Your summary about radical, I'm not sure that I'm there because we don't know what she has to say yet.
Fair enough.
It could be radical.
It could be.
Right?
And
so I think that's the next step, is to hear what that team is going to put together. Mm-hmm. And let us go from there.
And there certainly are, as a practical matter, the sit-in situation is not insignificant, and is a significant PR and legal matter to be addressed.
I think almost anything with an organization this old and so averse to change, anything you can remember.
Exactly.
But, you've got a few things that we've touched on. One is, we haven't really said, women have come a long way in the last 50 years, and the Girl Scouts are in no small part responsible for some of that growth. Opportunities for women today are dramatically higher than they used to be, certainly 50 years ago, even 10, 50 years ago. But boys have slipped a lot. The Boy Scouts have real issues. If they would like our help, having had measurable success with girls over the last 50 years, I think we could offer to help them. And I think we should do it locally, because you can't get two national organizations that are fighting together. And so if we were to even think about pilot quiet conversations with local Boy Scouts organizations, it would be worth looking at. I'm sure you already thought of that. The other thing is, it's a different world. Collaboration is some teamwork is something that's kind of in the last 20 years. And having boys and girls starting at around 12 or 13. By the way, forgive me, I have to leave early. I have to go to a gym meeting. But the, I'm sure that you guys can come up with some pilot projects where Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts can work together at some age. Younger ages, probably not so much, because they're both so, I mean, boys are continuing to form until they're like 35.
At least 25.
That helped both organizations, because what we really want to do is help the kids.
Well, I like your point, because I think it's a very positive messaging opportunity to kind of bridge that, you know, that hostility that's out there. And I think if we're talking national reach, that if we position ourselves and saying we want to somehow work or launch some pilot programs that involve boys, but really develop our programs aggressively for girls and this new generation of women, or, you know, girls, then we need to address those financial issues very aggressively, because we are in trouble. And that's why, part of why I came on board. We are looking at land that needs to be sold. And we can talk about a legal nightmare that is there because people are occupying the land and sitting down, but we have never talked. If you've been a Girl Scout mom, have you camped at any of those locations? They don't have fencing. So I have always wondered, as a Girl Scout mom, what's going to happen one of these days when somebody comes in and assaults one of the girls? We're going to have a much bigger legal battle on our hands. And nobody wants to talk about that issue. But I think if we're going to start weighing these issues about financial issues or legal battles, let's look at the one of getting rid of this land and starting, you know, at a smaller budget and really looking at the programming. Because programming is pretty easy to manage and roll out. You don't need land for that. You don't need to be at a campground. So I think we need to get more partners on board that are, you know.
Let me exercise my role as a moderator here and say we've got about 10, 15 minutes left. Let's stop the discussion with Girl Scouts, and now let's back up a little bit. As I'm listening to this, the dynamics that is going on in the room, I'm reminded of a meeting I had this week with a physician practice group, and they're going through very similar kind of issues, which was, we knew how things were in the past, and we don't like where the direction is in the future. But I call it the old man river syndrome. In the song, an old man river. I'm tired of living and I'm scared of dying. And these physicians that we're working with they know that the past is past, and they can't recover that, and the future doesn't really look very promising.
It's terrifying.
And they're kind of stuck in that middle zone. Mm-hmm. Has anybody had experience with this outside, you know, outside the artificiality of this Girl Scout case? But let's look at the organizations you worked with. Any, is this familiar? Because again, working with physician practice groups, I can see the dynamics here and what's going on.
So here's a comment that I will make, and being in a company that's involved with working with organizations with their brand strategy. Here's the big trend that I've seen over 30, 40 years. Everything has gone to a place where it's not about what you're doing or what you've done, what you do, because others do the same thing or want to do the same thing. And so what happens is that people really have to be very deep and soulful about who are you being in the matter of what you do. Who are you being in the matter of the programs and the cookies and the whatever? What are you really committed to? It's really important for organizations to really get at the DNA of why do you exist? What are you committed to? And really have a profound articulation of that, because then you have the true north against which to put programming to that commitment. So being in character, out of character, I'm so impressed with the position of commitment that I hear from our CEO, that I actually want to look at what are the public forums to really get that conversation in play in the community, and even with the current constituency and membership and families, and get the mothers and sort of get this conversation underway, because that's the thing that moves minds and hearts, is to really look at what's the conversation here. This is what's happening with every industry, most profoundly in healthcare. People are really like, for this way that we're organizing, what is it that we're really committed to, and who are we being in the matter of that? And let's get that out. Let's communicate that. Let's prove that and what we're doing, how we're doing it, et cetera. So I'd be really wanting to look at all of this and stage a, frankly, it's an operation rebrand, because it's not just about cookies and programs and land. It's really about the commitment to supporting girls and young women in a world that's, you know.
But getting back to your earlier comment, yeah. Judy, I think you're also saying it's not just a nonprofit issue.
Absolutely not. No. You know, I honestly, what we see, and it actually has us pivoting a lot of what we're doing in our company from what used to be sort of traditional, how are you marketing to sell products, to how are you really clear about who you're being as an organization? Because if you don't articulate that clearly, you have no hope of recruiting and retaining if you're not clear about what you're up to. Because for the up-and-coming world, this is a psychographic of individuals, these young people coming up into the workforce, for whom meaning matters, purpose is everything. They want to be knowing how they're contributing to a better world.
Getting to why, Simon Sinek, that approach?
Along those lines. If you are not clear about, as an organization, if you're not clear, and I mean crystal clear, distinctively clear, about what you're committed to and how you are distinctively really in action toward that commitment. If you can't, it's sort of like know thyself. If you can't really be clear and express that, then how do you engage others in being part of that? You know, so, you know, so that's it. So you really look for the leadership, and the leadership that can really voice that commitment, which is where, as a board, I'd be like real enthusiastic about who we have as a leader, because she's speaking from a place of what we're all really committed to. Now, what's the program that gets that conversation in play? these are all specific kinds of issues, but what's the conversation in play?
I'd like to just comment on Larry's question that he brought up before.
Yeah, I was.
By observing that over the same period that the decline that's reported here of a 50% loss of membership participation is the same period of time over which we have seen evolve in our society working couples, not a professional husband with a stay-at-home mom. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think the problem is what you're talking about just a minute ago with this whole relevance and where might we take, you know, the future for the organization is to create an organization that operates in the context of the working couple, of the professionally successful young woman who becomes a partner with her spouse, you know, not a wife, so to speak, and build, you know, the new brand, the new identity with the programmatic support, like the thing we talked about a few minutes ago, the Raytheon-supported STEM program to turn little girls into engineers.
Absolutely.
My goodness, what, you know, an incredible magnet, you know, for young women. So I think that's the turnaround and the transition, you know, to go from one mental set to another mental set.
I hope you're right. I do have to say, just coming out of character for a second, the national position, that is the actual language. That's real.
That's scary.
That's which I just that's actual language.
That is
not fiction. I did write the positive position. I did write that. I made that up on the spot. The negative one.
Wow.
That is excerpted from a letter.
We hope you all would pick up on
that. That's why Jamie's point was so interesting.
That's
guys,
real.
Collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, that's the 21st century.
Yeah. Because I couldn't make that up.
You or me. It's us.
We could rescue this company.
Yep. Absolutely. We're so awesome.
Yeah. I think this is an opportunity.
It is.
Can you identify? I mean, I can think of a whole series of programs.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
Would encourage girls.
It's a giant opportunity.
I mean, I can give you some.
If I hadn't started my own company, I'd call Girl Scouts right now because it's true. This just we'll bring this forward.
You could do
team
building.
They're
not ready for a rescue.
No, they're not ready.
They're not ready.
You could do skill sets. You could have a STEM program. You could teach them different athletic.
And there are new ways to reach girls.
They're also a management consultant. Yeah.
I think they need more data, though, too, because having gone through the Girl Scouts, there's really two customers.
Yeah.
When the girls are little, it's the moms making the decision to sign up their kids to be Daisy Scouts.
Yeah.
So why are there less moms? So someone... Like, we all could think of very creative things. I do think that if I was on I'd want to first go back and start with the data and say, you know, why aren't people, do some focus groups, try to understand. And then I think the biggest problem I've always seen with the Girl Scouts is the fall off is pretty, maybe it's true with the Boy Scouts too, but I think with girls being online, and their kids are actually more socially isolated, but you can keep Girl Scouts through Brownies, maybe Junior Girl, keeping a girl in Girl Scouts into high school. So that's where these kinds of programs, like I know in my town, the National Charity League is actually the biggest competition for girls who want to, if you read their charter, it sounds like the Girl Scouts, but it's more sexy than the Girl Scouts. Like, who wants to wear that uniform anymore?
Well, I wanted to just make sure because you were still commenting on Larry's comment, right?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of points here, okay? One is trying to figure out what the mission is, and the mission of the past doesn't have to be the mission of the future, and I think a lot of people are raising that issue of sitting down and saying, what are we doing? What can we offer? That's really important. Now, two comments. I've been on the board of a light trustee of the temple. When I joined 20 years ago, there were twice as many members as there are today. This is not unusual, not just being a reformed synagogue in Catholicism and elsewhere. And I'm not sure we'll ever get there, but there are ways of getting people more involved, and it's incumbent upon everybody to think what can we offer girls? Maybe entrepreneurial stuff, maybe starting businesses and doing things. There are a lot of different things. But one thing that I haven't heard is where's the, how are we going to fund these activities? And I have no idea. I certainly haven't been solicited by the Boy Scouts to give money. And I have a daughter who was not a Girl Scout, but did go to an all-women's college and a variety of things. There are a lot of successful women out there that coming up with a mission that they believe in, my guess is soliciting them as well as others, men too, but certainly women, whether they're Meg Whitman or Sheryl Sandberg or others, Melissa Gates, getting those people and getting outside funding can really make a huge difference. And I have no idea what the Girl Scouts are doing along those lines to really build some of these activities.
And we will draft some of those ideas. Because we think that was really why our team was hired. And I think to your point about physician groups that have the same parallel worry, the truth is, we really need to work from our passion, and everybody is in a different place in life. We all have our stories, but when it comes to Girl Scouts and being aboard and on the same direction with this program, I think we need to think of that very clear. Is where is our heart? Where do we want to go with this program? How are we going to finance it? And how are we going to save money on programs that are outdated and no longer needed?
Let me just raise this issue. I'm aware of the time, but you're raising a very kind of a profound issue. It's one thing for kind of a lifestyle business or a nonprofit to be mission-driven, really have a clear sense. It's a different if you're a Fortune 500 public company like General Electric, where you know what's the mission, what's the focus, what's the cause. My God, if you are God help you, your portfolio of a private equity company whose mission is to be, is to get acquired in 3 years. Where is that going to drive this next generation of young talent? You're saying it won't.
We're seeing this. I spent a lot of time in the higher ed world over the last few years, and I was seeing a lot of the same dynamic. Particularly tuition-dependent mid-sized schools and their boards of trustees and particularly. They used to do some cases in my teachings with some schools that had dug in with the past. Mm-hmm. And governance is actually getting in the way. Mm-hmm. Not at this level, but at the national level. And if we're prepared to do some unpopular things mm-hmm. to move this organization forward, a lot of ideas, that's the first mission is we're going to break away and do our own thing, and whatever happens with national happens, because we can't wait. But that's a big issue that a lot of entities are dealing with, because this is we've been around for 150 years, and I want it to continue. But you know, and some people have dug in with that, and that is part of the challenge. But sell the properties, raise the prices.
In the bigger picture, Larry mentioned at the beginning esprit de corps, and if that's lost, mm-hmm. as you said, if mm-hmm. you lose your way, you're north. Mm-hmm. If Simon Sinek calls it getting to why do you do it? How do you find that again? That's a dilemma, and that's one of the things on the table here. That's very hard to do.
Out of the box thinkers. And it sounds like we got a bunch of them here. So
we do.
We'll just present it that way.
It takes total reinvention in a way.
You know, I want to close this meeting with something positive. and one of the clients that I've worked with over the years that I really, really admired has been Johnson & Johnson. And they created the J&J values. And it starts with the customer, and then it sort of percolates down. Then the last, at the bottom of the list, is if we do all these things above here, then the shareholders will. But the first is the customer. And the interesting thing is, again, some of you know the story, some of you don't. There was a husband who wanted to poison his wife, And so he put poison in a Tylenol bottle, and he had no idea when she would take the poison. And so one day she took the poison and died, and so people blamed the Tylenol. And the Tylenol was a division of J&J, and the head of that division took all, every bottle of Tylenol off the shelf.
Nationwide.
Yep. Now, the story that what people didn't know was he did it unilaterally without consulting his boss. And the president of J&J was furious and wanted to fire him and brought him in. And the guy defended it on the by using the J&J credo.
You know,
first, you take care of the customer. Mm-hmm. And then if you do all these things, the shareholders at the bottom of the list, not the top of the list. And because he used the credo, that's in higher education, that is like an academic freedom. You know, you don't touch it. It's the third rail. So now, the consequence of that was the president of J&J, who wanted to fire the division director of McNeil, became the symbol of good corporate governance. And was hosted all over the country, and J&J became the symbol of all that was, right. And at the same time that was happening, Gerber, remember Gerber Foods? Some disgruntled employee was rumored to have put some Gerber glass in the manufacturing. You think about Gerber food in the glass jar, how easy that would be, just put it in there, because he was just very angry. And the president of Gerber said, we're going to take a chance and not take the Gerber stuff off. And it turned out he was correct. Factually, he was correct, but the fact that he didn't take that was a real problem for Gerber over the years. But again, that gets into what Judy's saying. You got to have, where's your values?
The reality, no kidding, I really think in the future, this, it must be that there's a focus on commitment for good luck recruiting in the town. I think that's what the youth is coming up. It's that value system. And it really is, stay focused on what you're committed to, and the outcome will be in place. But if you are singularly attached to an outcome, and that's what's driving the organization, there's no cheese in that tunnel. There's no juice in that organization.
I would love to add a personal detail, because the company I just started, the nonprofit Cause Fund, is a program that was originally designed for K-12 schools. We just had 16 schools finish their pilot year, and it was 100% well received by parent, by all stakeholders, in a way that you just cannot even imagine.
I believe
where
that.
Every child, especially in middle and high schools, were empowered to follow their own passion. So this is a program that was about them. Their voice mattered, their passion mattered, because they could tell stories to others. They could celebrate with the color of their cause on Cause Day what they were passionate about. And it was just an incredible, and nobody had to donate anything. And the, I mean, we just raised $70,000 with 16 schools, which is a higher average than any nonprofit has ever done with schools. So in the first year, and I think, you know, the passion, and if you whether it's a company, an employee that needs to step up, we need to find them at their level. So we're talking girls again, we need to find the girls where they are, whether it's through social media or through a program that comes through Raytheon. We need to find out where, how, and reach them.
How volunteer driven is this organization?
Mine? Or the Girl Scouts?
So it is hugely volunteer driven, and in reality, we're going back to reality now, that's actually a significant issue in terms of long-term sustainability. There has been a drop-off in actual human volunteers.
So the big drop-off is the children move through.
Yes.
I will no longer volunteer after my daughter has moved on, my son has moved on. So
no, there are actually, to more fully answer your question, there are actually not enough volunteers to even set up troops now.
Okay. But there's one thing that I've learned on volunteers. People don't know how to manage volunteers.
Well, that's a whole different issue.
And that means people leave because, okay, I'm volunteering for this, and you're all over my case for X,
yep,
whatever it is.
Yep.
there's no structure.
Both of you.
Given the, so the ratio of volunteers to children documented in here is ish, correct. And so just think about managing that massive number of volunteers. I mean, there are thousands, tens of thousands.
Right, we're not looking, our challenge today is not to look at it from a national standpoint. We're looking at it from Sunshine.
So your Sunshine region has five, in this case study, your Sunshine region has 5,000 volunteers.
Okay, fine. That's still less than the national. And our group is, next door is, another group has the same values. And the difference is going to be because these are service organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recognize it's a service organization, stick close to customer, and both of you mentioned passion.
Yep.
Because if the passion's not there in your volunteers,
right,
you're picking the wrong people.
Exactly.
And so that's those elements amongst the volunteers, right? And I didn't know it was 5,000, but it doesn't matter. One, the next chapter over can be an entirely different performance.
Exactly.
In this chapter, since I'm on the board, I would expect to be a leader in it and set the way for the national.
Exactly.
But you're making a very good point, because again, messaging has never been directed to the moms. And moms have only been told, this is what you need to do, go sell, help your kids sell cookies. And
from Sunshine or from
the moms are not even volunteers.
Even at Sunshine. I mean, the volunteers historically have not been treated very well, and I think we've missed an opportunity to help these moms. So we're talking moms my age now, who are very aware that their daughters need a very different program, and we want to hear about it. So if I'm the volunteer helping out, we now need to change that messaging to the mom saying, this is what we're going to do for your daughters. And none of that has been done. So that needs to change too.
Or is the question, back to some of the other conversation we've been having, is that even the right structure anymore? Is that entire model, baby with bathwater, and we start with a whole entire structure that's more relevant for today's life model? And what does that look like? We don't know, necessarily.
One more comment from Ken, and then we'll conclude.
I think some of the conflict is the professional mothers could be great role models because they've gone through it a different way, but they've also learned experiences and understand what it's like to be successful and both the ups and downs of that. They can be role models on the positive side. The negative side is because they are working in professional, how do they carve out the time, and what kind of, how do you create an environment that both allows them to be able to do that and get them to understand how important a role model they can be, but they see it in a way that they can carve out the time to do that.
Right.
And I don't know how you do that, but I think it's a great opportunity, which I've about, you know, where women have gotten to and how important it is for having role models there. And maybe getting some of the moms to understand the value that they can bring, not just, oh, we're having, you know, I'm going to be a den mother or we're going to sell cookies, but they can actually contribute something from a values point of view and be a role model and present what they do in a different perspective. That they'll say, you know, this is something, I wish I had had that when I was growing up. It's something that I now would like to do. It's interesting because I've been in Rotary many years, and Rotary is the largest service organization in the world, and a lot of people out there who are Rotarians, because they want to do service, they just don't know about Rotary. And my sense is there are a lot of moms out there that would also be interested in being a positive role model and contributing. They just either don't have the venue or they haven't been approached. And so the question is, how do you then do that?
In fact, we should add a very important detail. As a professional mom, Girl Scouts lends itself to professional moms really being interested in those volunteer opportunities because they can see a whole group in one session. So I actually, in suburban America, think that professional moms are more interested in those volunteer opportunities because of that opportunity. You see 12 children in one meeting, they see all the friends of their kids, it's great, that's where they want to be. So they're actually the easier moms to recruit for this kind of opportunity, but it's all about messaging and providing that data.
I was working full-time, and my co-
and you did it anyway, right?
Troop leader, we actually had a harder time getting moms at that time who weren't working outside the home.
It's
but it was nice because we chose to be in charge because you could say the meeting is on the weekend.
That's right.
Not right after school when you couldn't be there for it.
So this is counterintuitive, but it should be part of our, you know, draft proposals and stuff moving forward.
Can we thank our two?
Ten second plug for a local women's organization, West Women in the Enterprise of Science and Technology, westorg.org.
Yeah.
I was on the board for many years.
Yeah.
Wonderful organization,
yeah.
Especially career women. Science. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just mention that next month, August, we will be in recess going for the summer, and then we will begin again in September. You'll be getting some notices about that. You're going to notice that there is no meeting in August, and you'll get a notice about September. Thank you so much.
Scouts and tell them we have all the answers?
Yeah.
It's all fixed. It's all set.